This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3651 for Monday, the 1st of August, 2022. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for July 2022. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 49 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in July 2022.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is the community news for July 2022. Joining me this evening is, as ever...
Hello, Dave Morris here.
That's it, just the two of us. We switched from Saturday to Sunday today. Thank you very much, Dave, because I have quite a bit going on here at the moment. HPR Community News is a show that we do every month, we being the two janitors. Anybody else is more than welcome to join. And we basically go through all the shows that have been on in the last month, welcome new hosts, and chat about anything else that's been on the main list that you've... if you have missed it or anything else that's come up. So, as tradition dictates, can you introduce the new hosts? Give them their broom of office.
Yes, indeed, we have two.
Excellent, new count hosts. Them.
Oh, it's wonderful. We have Bin RC and we have Celeste. So we'll be coming on to their shows as we go through the month's shows.
Okay, so the first show that we had was a hookah travel series, open to anybody who wants to do it, but these are some very good shows. Starting off with the basics, planning an RV trip.
Yeah, fascinating. It's not a thing that people do quite the same level in UK, as far as I'm aware, so it's interesting to hear about.
Yeah, it's my brother did a... thing where he drove in an RV, himself and a mate was with the US forces in around where he lives, and they wanted to do the RV trip, so they did an RV trip right across the US, and when they got to the West Coast, there was that volcano thing, so they got an extra two weeks courtesy of
St. Helens.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And the British Airways paid their additional costs, so they had the full an extra 2 weeks, so they went from up to Seattle the whole way down to LA.
Wow.
So they did cross-country and north south. Very good.
Yeah.
Anywho,
that must be great.
It's on my
anyway,
list.
Yes, listening to hookah stuff, I think it's great. Get insights into the stuff that goes on. It's fantastic.
Says he not wanting to waffle on about for hours on the show, but okay. Brian in Ohio comments, enjoy the show. I enjoyed the show. I hope you put some pictures of your camper in future episodes. Also, I wonder if you might try some open source tools in future trips side by side to see how they compare with Google's offer rings.
Kevin O'Brien says, photos. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Brian. First few episodes are about my planning process, and there are no photos involved other than screenshots on the accompanying webpage, which is always linked in the show notes. And yes, I can vouch for that. In later episodes, when I talk about the trip itself, the accompanying webpage will also have links to photos on my Flickr account. So far, I've not encountered any open source apps for RV trip planning. Maybe out there, I just haven't found them yet.
Excellent. The next show was community news. No comments. Moving on to the next show. Programming 101. There was one comment by the way, this was a beginner's introduction to web scraping in Python by Clap2, and some guy on the internet says, thank you. I've wanted to learn how to web scrape because a government regulation I need is posted online, but if you want an offline copy, they force you to purchase a physical book from a third party rather than purchase a digital copy in EPUB or PDF. The regulation changes often and you have to purchase the entire book rather than just the changes. I'm going to brick a pie a few times to learn web scraping, then generate my own digital copy. Thanks again. And if anyone can do that, I'm sure it's some guy on the internet.
Yeah. He has great determination, this guy on the internet. So yeah, I'd be fascinated to hear how he gets on.
The next one is Collective History of RAID Controller Brands. And this is like a mini series that JWP, who I think works in that sector, has done. And I am finding this interesting because there was a time I used to read all the, you know, Byte magazine and whatever, and now I don't care as much.
Same here, yes. But yeah. It's good to have an insight, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was entitled RAID, but I didn't hear much about RAID, or at least my notes said, where was the RAID stuff? But still, the RAM and ROM stuff he was talking about was very interesting.
Yeah.
Stuff I did not know at all, so I'm very happy.
Bringing to an end, I think, the series on PECs and plumbing. And this is one I've been able to share in work as well.
Very good. And there's one comment from DNT who says, a hacker's plumbing system. This was a great series. Thanks for putting it together. This episode in particular, I think, will be a reference over the years with all the tips not to ruin your own day.
Very, very good.
Yeah, absolutely. I know he was a little bit nervous about putting forward such a series in the first stages, but boy, was this a good one.
Very popular. And it's also one that I have, whenever I do get time, one of the lists, things to do is add some hose pipe to the garden, and I'm going to need to join into the PECs that they've run over. So, aha!
There you go.
I shall be using this. No, it's good. This is exactly. Is it of interest to hackers? Absolutely, yes.
I would say so. Awesome. Yeah. Not in the traditional computer programming sense, but just in the work, dealing with the world as a hacker is a fascinating subject.
Yeah,
so yeah,
exactly.
Anything on that subject would be great.
Yeah. And I mean, we use the word hacker here in Hacker Public Radio, but you know, you can also use the word maker. So we're on that end of the spectrum. Is this a maker thing to do? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't come back with a little tool on 365, system monitoring center. It's one of these like dashboardy type things for having a look at your system. And I installed it at the time just to think, yeah, I'll have a look. But since then, I've been using GNU Parallel for a lot of things. And I wanted to see what my system was going to be looking like. And this has been an invaluable little speedometer dashboard thing.
It's really cool.
It takes a few seconds to install it, and I've used it about 5 times since this episode in the future feed.
Yeah, I also installed it and had a go at it, but in my case, I didn't find that it helped me. Well, it hasn't helped me yet in comparison to HTOP and BTOP and those sorts of things, but the day may well come.
Yeah, it's nice for just, you don't want to be constantly tracking. You just want to see, okay, I was running, maxing up my system, running parallel. And then, yes, I had the progress bar, but it was just nice to see, okay, there, what's going on and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Cool.
The stuff Evil Steve doesn't want you to know about. This is Season 1, Episode 7. And Lurk and Prion, very good little series here.
Yeah,
no comments
on
this one.
No, that's a shame actually. But I certainly found this really good, and I quite like the two host type of model with R. Brady Frost joining in
exactly,
the discussion.
Yeah.
And that was really good. It was good before, but I just like to hear the sort of dialogues going on.
Yeah, it does give a little bit of, you know, three-dimensionality, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
HBR feed to SQLite by Norst. Wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. And you know what, this is awesome? It means that we need to enrich our feed, Dave, with, because I really would like to have it, that everything
is
in the feed. And if you're not able to create HBR website from the full RSS feed, then we've done something wrong.
Yes. I think you might be have a few problems with some of the bits, mightn't you? The pictures. The pictures are in the feed. Yeah, they are.
You can put pictures in the feed, and it's no problem. But you can also link to them. I mean,
Yes.
We don't need to be pedantic about it, but things like the tags and stuff, we should have that in the feed as well.
Yeah, the tag should be there for sure.
We would need to extend it, but I'm sure there's something in the Atom specification that would allow us to do that.
Yeah, cool. The tags are on the Internet Archive, by the way, as you well know, but just in case other people didn't know. And you can use them for searching for shows quite nicely on there, better than we can do without JavaScript.
Exactly, and even with JavaScript, what's the point? The tags themselves are for other sites to index our stuff, really. Whereas the series and hosts are to provide context for and navigation for the website. That is the difference between the two tags. One doesn't replace the other. They're both doing two different jobs. Mm-hmm. So, Ken Fallon said.
Yes.
Daily database dump in SQL format, hackerpublicradio.org/hpr/.sql. So hackerpublicradio.org/hpr.sql. Run a cron job every day and pull that down and you've got the HPR database. Without the comments and without the reservations, you're never going to get the reservations. We will publish the schema, but there's no point. It's got people's personal IP address in there and all sorts of crap, so we don't want to do that. And the comments, we will do that later because I'm looking for a PHP expert to audit the code. That code's a lot newer and it's entirely mine, so any problems, I'm happy to own them.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But back to this episode, this was awesome. I really like this, and I would like Norris has another one coming up, so let's reserve further comment until we get to that one.
Yep, good. Well, yeah, great, very enterprising on his behalf. It's it's an impressive thing to do. So yeah, fantastic.
Yes, lease points being handed out here left and right, Dave. Following day, I posted a show on some phone issues I had. I'd been using primitive FTPD and then it stopped all of a sudden. So I looked for an alternative and found a far better alternative in the form of simple SSHD. It's on FTroid. Perfect little tool.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I don't know why I want it at the moment, but it's always good to know when I do.
Because Android lies to you. If you plug it in, everything it does is lying to you. The only time it doesn't lie to you is when you're in ADB, Android Debugging Bridges root. Every other time it's lying to you. This is the closest thing to not lying to you about the file system that you can get.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it means then you can just mount your phone as an SSHFS. You can mount it as an SSHFS, and you can just copy files over or sync files over, and you don't have any of this crap that, it's got some on the SD card and some on the internal one, but they're all symlinked and the change on write, blah, blah, blah. So it's just clean.
I do transfer stuff. I use KDE Connect for doing it, but that's all I really want to do. I just want to pull photos off it and that type of thing. And you know, you can set that up so it always drops in the same place on the target machine and all that sort of thing. But yes, I do take your point that's still at that level of you can't look under here. No, don't lift that corner of the carpet. No, and stuff like that.
Well, the reason I use it so often is that I have my phone on the Wi-Fi network, and then I am myself on the wired network, and the Wi-Fi network cannot get to the wired network. So
All right. Okay.
KDE Connect doesn't work for me.
Never thought to do that. That would really mess up my family. Yeah, I have to try.
Yeah. Linux in-laws, the job interview with Chris Jenkins from Confluent. And we have no comments about this. But this is about Kafka. Very, very enjoyable show.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we use Kafka at work a lot, and I completely missed the overall helicopter view, you know, the configuration and all the rest of that, but the whole helicopter view of it really helped the show, really helped just to get an idea where they're coming from, what the differences is, how it differs from a regular database, why you would want to use it. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant episode. Anyone thinking of using Kafka or, you know, thinking of other databases, this is, he very clearly explains to you the reasons why you would use NoSQL or relational database, etc. That is all.
Yeah, I found it most interesting too. I'm almost tempted to, I'm rebuilding my Pi 4Bs at the moment and wondering whether to put it on there, because it effectively it's an event streaming tool, isn't it? So you can events can be triggered to it, or a definition of events. I'm not quite sure how you do that, but I've worked in other systems that do similar things. But it can also send stuff out as MQTT if you configure it that way. So I'm wondering if that could be a useful component in an IoT style of setup.
And I look forward to hearing the show as ever.
If I ever get to it, yes, certainly.
On the list. You can also slap a SQL front end to it as well.
Cool. Yeah, must dig in, dig deeper. That would sound very interesting.
And the next one, expert DIR usage by Ahuka. I have to, I know you haven't used, you're not coming from that branch. You're a true Unixy guy. Speaking of which, I'm listening to the New Year show and I'm hearing you talking about VAX systems, and I've already added a few lines to my get Dave to do a show about this. But yeah, back to Ahuka. This is good. We have a similar background.
Just in digression there, I was moving things around in my attic, and I found a big pile of VAX, VMS manuals. I think they date from the alpha years rather than the VMS. The VAX years, and so I'm not sure what they are, but I think I'm going to bring them downstairs and have a good look at them, because there might be some gems there, because the way that VMS did things was weird and clunky in some respects, but really clever in others. A lot of those people left Digital and went to work for Microsoft and made various Windows versions based on what they knew from VMS. So there you go.
Cool. The next day, Turntable Audio Capture Part 2 by Archer72, I revised previous capture scripts. And this, my friends, is the black bush of shows, because this is exactly what I am needing. Whenever all this other crap is done, I still have a whole box of tapes and stuff to be archived. This shall help. Language not correct. Syntax error, line 10. This will help.
Yeah, we know what you mean. Yes, no, it's good. Archer72 does some amazing stuff. I'm really impressed with how he puts together this type of thing. And he's got the pictures down to an art form now, I think. So very good.
Yes, everything you need. You can actually just listen to the, you know, browse the pictures, which I invariably forget to extract. And then, why does this look so crap? I haven't extracted all the pictures. But anyway, there you go.
Very cool.
But yes, very, very good. Following day, we had an interview with Vitaly,
I think the Ukrainian.
Vitaly, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Another one of operators, operators cohorts back in the ethical hacking days.
Pen testing,
that's what we're calling it, yeah. Yes, this I enjoyed. This is good.
This was amazing. I mentioned this to my son, suggested he have a wee listen to it, because he's not that he's in the security end of things, but he now works for a big company that probably will do pen testing from time to time, and he might find this quite an insight into that world. So yeah, I found this utterly fascinating. So yeah, thank you very much, operator, for such a thing. Kevin O'Brien says in the comments, great show. I hope you guys do more shows together. This was a lot of fun. And thanks for the shout out. But did you record this a long time ago? You mentioned shows I did back in 2019, 2020. I think operator says this is a lost interview I never uploaded. So I assume that means he found on some in some corner or other. So yeah, it does look like it's an older one.
But this is HPR. Time has a different meaning here.
But it didn't detract from its quality at all.
Absolutely not. No.
Amazing. Amazing.
We have Bin RC, my computing history and the software I use. And we have lots of comments. First, Archer 72, first shows, the title. That was a good first show. I'd like to hear more about C programming, which I know nothing about. Also, I think you will have another friend here who likes BSDs. Audio is just fine. Keep it up, smiley face.
And Norris says...
Plan 9. They say some interesting future shows. Hopefully you will do a show on your experience about Plan 9.
I'd forgotten I'd commented on this one. I said
just
an excellent... Yeah, I realised that as I was just about to start the Norris one. I said, an excellent first show. I enjoyed this a lot. It sounded really good and had a lot of interesting content. I'd like to hear more about modern BSD. I used to use proprietary Unixes based on BSD back in the day. For example, Sunos on Suns, not much. DEC Ultrix on DEC MIPS systems, DEC Station, DEC Server daily for several years. And OSF1 AXP and later True 64 Unix on DEC Alphas a little. So when I moved to Linux at work and at home, so I'm out of touch with the way BSD has developed.
And Brian in Ohio said, future show. I vote for Plan 9. Do you know what I love is that the community is now doing my job for me, you know, listening to the shows and then going, hey, I want another show. Well, like this. Excellent. feel free to do this, people.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And it's also good feedback for the host that, you know, people are listening, people are interested, people want more. So what could be better all around?
And it gets over this, oh, people won't be interested in a show about blah, you know, and I think the game is up, Dave, as far as we're concerned. People know that we'll just say, yes, we'd love a show about blah.
But these are real requests. Not that.
These are real requests. They're not just Ken and Dave requests.
Uh-huh. That's the way.
Now, another new host came in. Celeste, I believe. Pinball Machine Repairs. And there was a guy in work who's a contractor who's temporarily not in work anymore, has huge hobby of repairing pinball machines. So I was very interested in this show. And so, Archer72 said, is it mine or yours?
I think it's actually mine, because you did the last one.
Go.
Archer72 says, pinball machines and English. That was interesting. I remember working at a place that assembled the lighting backplanes for these machines. I would get to play on the machines at lunch. Two of the memorable ones were Star Wars, The Adam Families, and Last Action Heroes. Oh, and your English is just fine. You might find Dave Morris's series on the English idiosyncrasies a good listen, starting with, he refers to show 2558, Badly with English, part 1. So thank you very much, Archer72, for the citation.
And I would say, don't.
Of course you would. You probably
don't
spell
that's
that wrong.
A rabbit hole you don't want to go down. Your English is fine.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a... English is a weird language, and that's one of the things I'm trying to convey, you know, that it's got some very strange things in it, which are quite hard if you're not learning it as a child, you know.
Absolutely. Trey says, welcome. This pinball repair project sounds like so much fun. Thank you for sharing your experiences, and I'm looking forward to your next podcast. So you have to do a new podcast now. Also, please don't worry about the pronunciation of English word. It was easy to understand everything you said. I listened at 1.5 speed. Welcome.
That's great. Yeah. Brian in Ohio says, soundscape. You could do a show recording the sound playing the pinball machine. Eliminates the no time to do a show problem. I assume you have time to play. Smiley face.
And I support that. That's a brilliant idea. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah, I would enjoy listening to that.
And Jeroen came in with a how to set up a Linux WireGuard VPN, basically reading his own blog, published at the same time. We have no problems with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It sailed over my head a teeny bit, and then I saw the blog reference and opened it up. Wow, I didn't have time to read it,
exactly.
But it's really good quality stuff. So yeah, definitely recommend everybody goes and reads that.
WireGuard is something I set up once about every 18 months or so, and just enough time to know that I've done it in the past, but also just enough time to have completely forgotten how I did it in the past. Or that the software has updated so much that it's changed.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Brian in Ohio. Oh, is Ken a little jealous person? Now, I so wanted one of those. Oh, ARM Slackware 4th, oh my. A description of a laptop. And the laptop in question is the Pi Top. I really wanted one of them. Just having a Raspberry Pi with a slide-out keyboard and a screen. Basically everything you want. But they're horrendously expensive.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I remember seeing them and thinking, nah, not for me. But yeah, really cool machine. I was impressed by the way Brian mastered one of the shortcomings.
Yeah.
About the battery stuff. And he's built in an Arduino that monitors the battery level. So yeah, wow, very, very impressive. And it goes to show what you can do with such a thing, that you can get inside the guts of it as well.
Yeah, exactly. But Brian could very well, now that I know he messes with Arduino, we can expect, I already knew that from the fourth episode, so yeah. More shows on hardware hacking, please. Thanks, Brian. No pressure. And Ron has been doing some weekend projects. I love this recycling. A lawn chair or a patio umbrella thing broke and he fixed it and it's cool.
Yeah, it's a nice solution actually, isn't it? I think I've used that epoxy impregnated tape to mend a leaky pipe at one point. In a flat that I lived in, because that used to be a sort of plumbing doodad. It's a cloth soaked in epoxy. I'm not quite sure what makes it set, but anyway, whatever. But what a great idea. I'd have been heading down the same road of putting a big dowel down there or getting a larger pipe to put around the outside or something like that, but then it wouldn't have gone through the hole. And he's found a great solution there.
Exactly. Just like scrunchies. Super useful.
Yes, indeed.
And a response to tomorrow's show. God, that was a pain in the arse to do. Yeah, it was about statistics on HPR and my view on how useless they are.
Yeah, yeah. No, I enjoyed listening to this. It was really good.
Carry on.
No, it's sort of needs more study than listening to the audio while you're washing up or something, but still well worth a dig into, I think.
Yeah, people, the show notes are there, the full text of the show notes, and yeah, it brings up a little bit of a question: is HPR a podcast hosting platform or are we a podcast? And what I mean by that is, are we a YouTube where you upload to a particular channel and you build your presence and whatever? And I've never thought we were, but I've been here from the start. So I also don't see why you would think we're that, but we are more like the what's that radio program on the BBC where a moment of reflection where a vicar or an imam or a priest or somebody comes on to say our prayer of the day.
Thought for the day, is that what
thought for the day? It's yeah. We're more thought for the day. Every day a new host comes on and gives their thought for the day, be they whatever. That's HPR, except tech. So if Father Murphy comes on and does a show for, it's not Father Murphy's show, it's Father Murphy on Thought for the Day.
Yes. That, well, I think I've been here now for nearly 10 years, and I'd used to listen before that, and that was certainly the model that I read into what I was listening to, you know, that it is a means whereby people can put up post-its, as it were, virtual post-its, or just generally think, oh, I've just learned this today, I can tell other people about it, and here we go, rather than being a vehicle for people to build their own presences on the internet.
Not that we would, I mean, we don't not do that. Klaatu randomly pulls. I still haven't figured out the algorithm by which Klaatu puts stuff on HPR versus on GNU World Order. if he's got show notes, he puts them on HPR, I suppose.
maybe so. Yeah.
Anyway, there are some comments.
Gotcha. You're going to do it.
Yeah, I'll do the first one. Whose turn is it? Oh, I'll do it. Long-time lurker. Known unknowns. This is fascinating, Ken, and as you allude to, it's impossible to factor in people like me who delete some HBR episodes without listening to them. Anything by Klaatu is an instant listen. Anything by Linux In-Laws is an instant delete. Ooh, that hurt. Moving back. The beauty of HBR is the broad selection and unpredictability. I think the spirit of HBR would be destroyed if it were to become a podcast distribution service for podcasters looking to exploit HBR's ready-made audience. Okay.
So we have a comment from somebody whose handle is e-slash-y. I'm sure there's something
is that
there
that
I've missed. No.
Is it? Yeah, it could be elite Z. Easy.
Yeah, right. My eyes don't do elite. They're too old.
Okay, the font doesn't help, but when you look at the model.
Yeah, it probably does work in other fonts. And it also depends on the browser, probably, to some extent. Anyway, the comment was, only interviews. I only listen to the interviews. Not sure how Ken is going to factor that into the calculation. Smiley face.
No, I'm not doing any more freaking stats, thank you. And this is... yesterday's show was in response to this show, which was Linux In-Laws 20 Years in Review. And they kind of had a spoof of going forward in time and then back in time. I was a bit annoyed that HBR stops in 5 years, Dave. Why would that be, do you think?
yeah, we must do something about that, mustn't we? Yes.
Okay, and the last show at the 29th is Major Destinations. Building a plan around major destinations and using membership to get discounted stays. This, I think this is a Hookah's Travel series, obviously, for the RV thing. But I was also listening to this show thinking, yeah, I want to actually make use of night trains are being pushed here in Europe as well. A series of how I basically would like to go with my daughter or whatever around for a few city breaks on night trains, you know, arrive somewhere, sleep during the night, arrive somewhere, spend the day, get in the train, come back home, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it. What else do we have?
Was, That was I was just going to comment on Hooker Show saying that I hadn't realized that he was towing an RV. I assumed it was one of these sort of long van type things, because they were the ones I saw most of in Yosemite when I took my kids there. What was that?
I didn't think he was towing it.
He is. Yeah, he said so. Yeah, yeah. It's a tower. He was saying, when you're towing, you have to restrict yourself to 60 miles an hour, anyway. And he's also talking about finding a low bridge and realizing it was a low bridge just as he approached it, stopping, and then having to get out of that place if you're not skilled at reversing with the trailer, which I certainly wouldn't be. That's not what he said, but I'm just guessing what he's saying. So, and also his RV is 13 feet tall. I don't know what that is in meters. So it's a massive thing.
People.
So yeah, I wonder what that's like in
need photos of his RV setup. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. I'd love to know what it's like in a heavy crosswind. Come around the edge of a hill or something, or a mountain or a cliff.
And mosey across canvas is kind of windy.
So yeah. So I'm fascinated to know more about this. It's anyway, very interesting series.
Yep. Okay, cool. Comments on other shows. There's one comment on by DNT on using Task Warrior to structurize your work, which was a Jeroen Batten show from 2020. DNT said, I saw your most recent episode and it reminded me of this one. I had heard of Task Warrior many times. In this show, you explained how you can set weights for different attributes, out of which the urgency score is calculated. By that, you can sort your mess of things you wish you would do. That proved too irresistible to my little brain. It really is the one thing that sets it apart. Having succumbed via vendor lock-in at work to a less free and more convenient option, I am not using Task Warrior anymore, but I did for a good while, and I think it is the most impressive to-do list application out there. So thanks for the show.
Huh. That's a really good comment.
No, just...
I used to use Task Warrior at work for a while, then I stopped when I retired. And listening to Jeroen's show, I did plunge back into Task Warrior, but then I found a week had gone by and I'd forgotten it. I'd actually forgot to go and... So I don't know what that says about me. But I don't think it is really a thing that sticks with me. But I can see that somebody has different mindset, different approach could get a lot out of it. So that's really cool. Good comment. So we have a comment from operator to operator who says, installer changed. Because you can't install only key without local admin, not even set compact layer equals run as invoker works. And he gives a link to one of his... batch scripts to presumably get around this. I've not actually looked, to be honest.
Cool. How are we going to tackle the website thing? Okay, well, I'll do the first one now. And this is in response to a comment. In any case, I would like about source code for the HPR website. In any case, the quote is, in any case, I would like to be in the loop. Some sort of website working group could be created to have discussions without filling up the mail list. Good point. We'll move the discussions after the community news so the wider community can have their say. I just started, and then this is Ron's point. I just started the HPR site generator project, which is currently hosted on GitLab, and points to a link. I propose to move the general discussion about the HPR website project code to the project's issue tracker from an official location is set up. If this is acceptable, please create an issue with the label general discussion, blah, 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 blah. I refer to some form of forum mailing list and discussions, but I don't wish to create too much work for the janitors of an honest host.
Okay.
You do Chris's response?
Chris's, yep. Chris says, I second the above motion.
You do Ron's reply, please?
Losing track here, I'm sorry.
It's okay, I'll do it. Anyone else interested? I would be interested in helping develop an upload API. I have contemplated an HPR recording app that would help record, edit, and post the show from your phone or tablet. Also have ideas from a command line script which reads a file that has various upload fields in it and then posts to the website. From my GNUX install adventures, I was looking to become more familiar with Scheme and possibly Guile, so starting working on a script to upload the show. Don't have anything worked yet. I will now create a SCM file with various field definitions and writing my show notes. Then I just copy and paste them into the browser input fields. Not that a script program couldn't make the post calls to the same location that the web form does, but it's easier to parse the response, particularly error responses. Have you got your runes?
I seem to have gone round in a loop, but yes, I have. Yes, just my small 2 cents in this discussion. Maybe Elm is a nice solution, and he refers to a Twitter tweet.
Okay, cool. And Chris replies, hi, Ron. Thanks for the seconding this. I've such a script based on Python framework called Solidium, which is an integral part of the in-laws publishing workflow around HPR. The trouble is that it's a pain to maintain, as, for example, a change to the upload page structure content has the potential to easily break the script. A couple of years back, I came with a high-level design of such an API. I published this on the HPR GitLab instance. See my previous remarks, but apparently this document has vanished in the mist of time. I haven't heard back from Ken and Dave on my previous email. I'm sure I'll see if I can dig this out and share it with you in a more public place, and we can take it from there.
So you said, you want to, is it you next, according
yeah.
to my thread?
Okay. The HPR website has been updated to support emails with nospam.nospam, so we can release the database easier. This has involved a lot of changes to a lot of the web pages, so while it all seems fine, can you report any issues? Thanks. And that's related to the publishing of the SQL database, which we wanted to do. We didn't want to release the emails were stored as regular emails, and now we're storing them instead of joblog@example.com. We're storing them physically. We used to read joblog@example.com, and then when we published it on the website, we published it as joblog.nospam@nospam.example.com. And now we just save it in the database as joblog.nospam@nospam.example.com. And then when we use it, we strip out the things, so that way it's by default safer.
Okay. Unfortunately, your next response
exactly.
is also from you.
And it seems to have gone okay. The Get Shows page now has a link to the database dump in SQL. So the link is hackerpublicradio.org/hpr.sql. I'll start working on the template from Ron's HPR generator next to get the site produced. First, focusing on the static pages not linked to the database. However, don't let that stop you. Have a look at the database and see how you can produce your own mirror site with the tools of your choice. And then I go on to say, we've held back the comments and reservations table from the database exports for now. Expect the comments to be updated shortly. I'm looking for some trusted experts to audit the PHP code behind the comment system. Recommendations are welcome. The reservations table schema will be made public with the reservation system, although I doubt that the data will ever be published. Publishing it has no value as the entries are removed once the show is posted and it contains the host's IP address.
So Monochromic says, hi, Ken / janitors. Any chance to get the old GitLab instance up once again? I suppose if you want to go down the route of Linux in-laws, series one, episode 51, a Git-like structure may come in handy.
And I pointed that to Josh, who said, the GitLab server has gone for over a year. Nope, the server is long gone, and pointed to a replacement. However, Chris then says, for those interested in processing the possible API as part of the HPR website, you'll find a somewhat old proposal and take into account it's a Git T instance. Feedback implementations of the current proposal are welcome. In the interest of gauging the actual size of the community for this, I would be interested to see if the hosts reading this actually use some sort of automation workflow for publishing their content to HPR and perhaps might show an interest in such an API project.
So, yeah, boiling things down, I guess the real question that we need to have answered is if there were to be an API, who would use it? Because you got to write code to use it. You know, it's not just a case of walking up to a form and filling in fields, which, as we heard, Rowan does by offering up a window and cutting and pasting from one to another, which is what I do as well. And you know, it's a pretty convenient way of doing things. So, who would use an API if there was one? That would be the question to ask. Do you think, Ken?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. I mean, I design APIs for a living, actually. Well, the designing of APIs is the easy part. It's the whole system behind that becomes more complex. So I'm not against having an API. We could have a Swagger file, but yeah, is anyone going to use it? I'd really like to know. Okay, and Dave, rounding off the show, some very, very sad news. Do you want to read it, or shall I?
Yeah, I think we both became aware through Twitter and Mastodon of the recent death of Oliver, normally known as Ollie Clark, who has been quite an important person in the various tech community forums and so on. He certainly spoke to him at OnCamp, and yeah. I know he's been involved in the bar camps quite a lot, and also in the Raspberry Pi jams as well. So he was a great enthusiast to teach all manner of stuff. I think the Raspberry Pi jams was a great vehicle for doing that. And sadly, he died in November last year, and it was COVID that got him. But unfortunately, his family didn't know how to get the message out to the wider community, so they didn't have passwords or anything to do that. So it's only come to light. His departure has only come to light in the past few weeks. So, yeah, extremely sad. I was just going to say I collected his Twitter, Mastodon, Flickr, and website and stuff like that together, just in case anybody wants to go and remember him through such a vehicle.
And if we have a call out for how we can pass on our messages of condolence to his family, to me he was just the backbone of OddCamp, always there. And any time I asked for an interview, it was like, you know, he's busy with the soundboard and I owe you a show type thing. So I was shocked to discover I hadn't an interview with him. But it's always because he was busy helping out and stuff.
Mm-hmm. He was always deep in something or other to do with OddCamp, for sure.
And even pictures of OddCamp tended to have, you know, Dan Lynch, Ollie and some other random person.
Les Pounder was often there as
well. Yeah, very good, Les, or yeah, Popey. Yeah, very sad news. Anyway, tell me about older shows on archive.org, Fizz 2. How are we doing?
Oh, it's just a counter that's incrementing. So I've managed to get 145 shows processed to the way that we would like them to be since the last community news. So it's just by doing five a day. So, very good.
Okay, that's it, Dave. Thanks for postponing the time. I'll try and process this now straight away. And tune in tomorrow, folks, for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio.
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.